Listen, what if you knew all the things you can know about prayer and the power of it, about the Word of God, about Christ, even the authority, obviously awareness, alertness, authority, and armor. What if you know these things and you're getting them down very well? Let me tell you one element in the midst of all of it. If you know these things well, then you will have action. If you're going to study the book of Acts, you're going to find that it's really a book of action, a book of great action. I mean, the disciples received, but they also were sent out. And that is the great, great neglect of our discipleship teaching and of our churches today. We're constantly bringing people in to be spectators or to watch what others are doing. In discipleship, we teach them everything whatsoever that Jesus taught for them to put into practice. Worship and prayer and witnessing and deliverance and healing, all of these things. As a matter of fact, Luke's Gospel chapter 10 is all about action. It is about Jesus saying, you know what, the fields are so white, pray the Lord of the harvest. That's action. Prayer is where the action is, John Wesley, the great evangelist, said. Prayer is where the action is. So pray the Lord of the harvest to send even more laborers and more workers. You cannot do it all by yourself. I can't. It's great to see hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of real believers out in action. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I love going back to Isaiah 6, you know, when God says to Isaiah, after Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord, you know, God says, who will I send? Who's going to go for us? Here am I, send me. Well, the fact is, God has sent you. The fact is, most believers don't understand that they have been sent. If you've been discipled well, then that discipleship includes the equipping and your learning and growing experientially in all of your abilities of worship, of prayer, of spiritual authority, of awareness, alertness, of the armor of God, of soul winning, of helping, of doing ministry, of learning your gifts, of doing the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world. It's all about that. It's all about being sent. Jesus said, you'll be clothed with power from on high. What for? The repentance and redemption of the nations. When Jesus says it in Acts chapter 1, when the power of the Spirit of God would come, that we would become his witnesses. Now, all you need to do is go through the book of Acts. Every single believer that was filled with the Holy Spirit, it's mentioned 11 times, every one was on the field active. They could worship. They could pray with power. They could rebuke and command demons to get out. They can battle in spiritual warfare. They could be led by the Holy Spirit. They could see the demonstrative hand of God's miracles, workings, and healings around them. They could, in the midst of battle and spiritual warfare, see God's victory. There are displays of power encounter throughout the book of Acts. If you want a field manual of how to live in the end of days, book of Acts. Book of Acts, it's all about what God is doing in the context of, when times are good, when times are radical, when there's opposition, when there's not, when there is death threats and a persecution, and when there's great, massive, like the day of Pentecost. Like all the way to the book of Acts, chapter 5. When you see the believers in obedience, see any believer saying, you know what, I'm going to obey the word of God, you're going to become so active. You're going to become so aware, so experienced. That's what it's about. Most believers who are struggling with doubt, feeling whether God's present or not, bearing no fruit whatsoever, barely able to pray anything. You know what it's all about? Well, lack of discipleship and clearly lack of obedience to the Word of God. I'm going to say to you, don't wait on anybody. You in the presence and under the lordship of Jesus, and because you love him, that's what it says, doesn't it? You go study John's Gospel 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You're going to find something very clear, that if you love Jesus, you're going to obey his word. That's what 1 John is all about in evidencing real believers. Real believers not only have the right confession about Christ, the right belief about Christ, the right doctrine about Christ, they also have clearly a love for the word and obedience to it. You can't love the word and not obey it. You can't revere the word and not obey it. You can't experience the power and the blessing of the word of God without obeying it. James 1 is very clear. If we look at the word of God, Don't do it. Walk away. Then what? Then what? We deceive ourselves. It's actually counterproductive. Whatever scripture you hear about, put it into practice. And even in these five little, well, anywhere from 11 minutes to 17 now, very hard to keep this down to 10 minutes. We've tried. But I hope that you will take it further. I hope that you'll stand before the Lord today and say, Lord, evaluate me, you know, as far as putting into practice the Word of God for your personal life and everything. You know, it speaks about all of our life, marriage and husbands and wives and children and church and the context and everything else. It's the Word of God that tells us not to be complainers. It's the Word of God that tells us to love, to forgive. Are we putting the Word of God into practice? If we do, then that Word lives in us, is supernaturally operative in us. And the great, well, picture of discipleship is our engagement with Christ, our baptism, of course, and then our learning everything whatsoever. Continue to learn everything whatsoever. But once you've learned it, it moves to action. So that you should be clearly looking around and becoming very aware biblically of the enemy's work in spiritual warfare, of the culture that we're in. Be very, very aware of what biblical prophecy says about what's coming. Number two, alertness. Being absolutely alert. Now, action involves the concept because we've read in Colossians 4:2, we've read in 1 Peter 5, we also seen in Ephesians 6. The idea of alertness, watching for the impending danger of the enemy, and then authority and armor. It all has something to do about it. The only reason for the authority, the only reason. See, authority isn't like, well, I've got a shield. No, you have to use it. You have to speak out and pray against commanding demons, ordering them, get out, leave. If it's a human being, if it's stuff against you. Now, the armor of God involves that action too. Unless you're putting truth into practice, righteousness into practice, your readiness into practice, your faith shield lifted all the way up, the Word into practice, and prayer by the power of the Spirit of God into practice, well, then you can't be strong in the Lord and manifest His mighty power. When you do, you can. That's what action is all about. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You are sent whether you are going or not. Can I say it again? You are sent whether you are going or not. And I want to tell you what, that's where a lot of the growing and development and experience. Listen, when you look at the book of Acts and see these disciples, that all of a sudden when the power of God comes on them, Peter preaches, thousands are getting saved, you know, they begin to do the ministry, they get challenged, they're told to shut up, they move together in Acts chapter 4, raising their voices together to God in prayer, quoting scripture, they ask God for more boldness. And the power of God fell, even shaking the building, and they all went out. They went out in action. The prayer, the gathering was action. The prayer was action. The quoting of scripture was action. God acted in the midst of that. And when the power came, they didn't just sit and enjoy and say, oh, this is great, I love this. They moved out in sharing Jesus and witnessing and bringing the Word of God to others. In Acts chapter 5, Satan comes in to try to infiltrate the church through Ananias and Sapphira. But because of the awareness, alertness, authority, and armor, and action of Peter, he knew Satan was there trying to get in. He stopped it at the door. And Satan's scheme, his device, his methodology, his work of trying to bring corruption in, was stopped and crushed. I believe because there was an awareness overall, an immediate sense of alertness. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 5. He says, by the Spirit of God, be self-controlled and alert. He was alert. Holy Spirit perception, maybe even a word of knowledge. Satan filled Ananias and Sapphira's heart. And it was all stopped. Now, authority means you can command against, trample. You're supposed to use it. You don't just wear it as a badge. You don't just simply say, if you say, I have authority and never use it, what good is it? Authority isn't a shield. Christ and the armor and the very power of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, that is your shield. Authority is to be used. And God says, Use the authority to trample. Clear the air. Pray against the enemy. Use it as far as God will take you. Use the authority against the demonic to trample the dark side and overcome, Greek word Nike, decisive victory. Overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. By action in this, you'll become more and more powerful, more and more fearless. Matter of fact, let me give you Acts 9:22. Saul of Tarsus is encountered by Christ. Saul of Tarsus gets saved. He becomes Paul, of course. And becoming Paul, guess what happens? He is prayed for, filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately begins to share Jesus and proclaim Christ and tell that he's the Savior. And by action, verse 22 in Acts chapter 9, take a read. He grew more and more powerful. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing more and more powerful? All that you've received, acknowledge it, appropriate, acknowledge all that you've received, but put into practice the word and all that God has given you, and you will become experientially more and more powerful, more and more mature, experienced, able. As a matter of fact, by the time the disciples get to chapter 5, verse 42 in the book of Acts, guess what? It says they never stopped preaching and teaching. It's almost as if they were unstoppable. It's as if their obedience to the word so brought the strength and mighty power of the Lord, so brought the manifest presence of this operating awareness and alertness, the use of the authority, the clarity of the armor, and the mission of God in winning the world to Christ, that nobody could stop them. It seemed as though they were immovable, unstoppable. I think literally by the time you read Philip, a second generation believer in Acts chapter 8, you see a believer that you just don't see these kind of believers. You barely see these kind of believers today. Yet I believe all of us can become like Philip in Acts chapter 8. Look at all the supernatural grace and power and help and might he got in his committed, persistent obedience to Christ. Listen, be persistent until you are consistently obedient. And as you are consistently obedient, you will get stronger and more powerful, more experienced, more able. All of this awareness, alertness, authority, armor, action will fit together and be and flow in a clear unity under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As we seek to win every soul to Jesus, the time is short. Are you aware of that? Satan is. Revelation 12. We're nearer now, as it says in James, to the return of Christ than ever before. And in 1 John chapter 2, it says, this is how we know it is the last hour. Well, many antichrists have gone out, but the antichrist is coming. In a day of the unprecedented ramping up and when more will come than ever in all of history, and with that massive seduction, deception, and satanic manifestation of demonic presence will come the greatest of destruction. Who's going to be the light of the world? Who's going to be the cutting edge witnesses? Who's going to point to God? Who's going to be able to stand with the awareness of all that's going on, the alertness of the immediate things, use the authority, have the armor on to manifest his strength and mighty power, and stay in action? You know why some aren't in action? Some that might be listening right now may have been taken out of action. Maybe because you didn't know the awareness, the alertness, the authority, and never have your armor on, and you're out there trying to do a few things, you got cut down and decided, I'll never do it again. Why didn't you do it the right way? That's what happened to Peter in the beginning. He just kind of presumptively jumped up and said, I'll live for you, I'll die for you, I'll do it. You know, and he had no idea of spiritual warfare. He got cut down, but he learned. And on the day of Pentecost, he stood in great power and led thousands to Christ. And he would not back off again. And by Acts 5, he wasn't fearing Satan. He wasn't fearing Satan's presence coming into the church. He was there to stop it. Later on, he would write about it, 1 Peter chapter 5, being self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil. You know, he's out there prowling around like a predator. He's like a roaring lion. He's like that. But he's looking for someone to devour. And if you're in the awareness, the alertness, the authority, the armor, and out there in action, you know that he's not devouring you. You know that you can be very confident in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about that the Lord shall be your confidence. You will gain competency and confidence in consistent obedience, in putting all of it into action. You'll become very powerful, and you will become very unstoppable, very fruitful. And that's the place of great joy personally. And isn't it going to be great when you see many people come to Jesus and some people be healed and those demonized where they're set free and your ability to pray with great power in your church and in your city and in your nation? Now listen, I know that I'm going on more than the 10 minutes. I tried. But the sense of need and urgency of this hour, so many of you know this now. I am compelled by that urgency. On the one hand, seeing the encroachment and horrific works of the enemy, seeing the weaknesses and failures of all of us as believers at times, but knowing what can be. Jesus said it, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, not withstand, not be able to prevent the onslaught of a Christ-filled, Holy Spirit-clothed, witnessing, aware, alert, using authority, armor of God on, active body of Christ. I pray that for you. Hope we can do more. The Lord Jesus bless you and encourage you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless.